profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Hell on Heels podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the party.
It is a party.
A party of all sorts. How are you?
I think I'm good.
You think you're good?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Yeah, I feel okay.
Okay.
Anything I have lemon heads, so.
Oh, is that new? For this episode. You don't normally have lemon heads.
I don't. Because I've been on, like, my better health journey. Oh, I've lost almost 10 pounds, so that's fun. But also, nice. Yeah, I don't have candy often, so I splurged with some lemon heads.
And lemon heads aren't that bad, right?
I would say no. There's about 50 calories in 10 lemon heads. So,
as long as you don't eat the whole bag, you're fine.
Oh, I'm gonna eat this whole bag.
Oh, okay.
But even then, like, it's not like shoving, I guess, a giant Hershey bar down my mouth. Because, like, I say I'm gonna eat this whole bag. I started eating it the other day. So it's not even gonna be the whole bag. It's probably gonna be, like, a third.
Oh, see? Fine.
I deserve a cheat day.
You deserve to indulge whenever you want.
Yes, and I will.
All right. How about you? We're good. We took the babies to their first baseball game this week.
Oh, I saw that actually. How did that go?
That's fine. It was for a work party that I was like, let's go. Also because we had the tickets for it.
Okay, yeah.
So kind of made sense to go. And I invited my parents and Milster. Because, you know, my dad is a sports fan and it was a minor league game.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Salt Lake Bees.
Oh, okay. I was like,
might as well invite him and, you know, and then this is how this worked. I told my mom about it when I got the email and was like, well, do you guys want to go? Because I wasn't sure if I was going to go. And my mom was like, Dad would love to go, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. I'll get the tickets and all that. I forgot to tell my mom until the day before that I had gotten the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I also didn't tell Cody or my dad.
Or me.
So, yeah, I didn't tell because I forgot about it. There were babies. Yeah.
I feel you. Look, me and James forgot our whole anniversary. Okay, so I get it.
it was a lot all of a sudden. And I forgot, okay? And I wasn't checking my work email regularly. And I just happened to check it the day before the game and was like, oh, hey, Mom?
Are y'all busy? Because if not, yes, you are.
Well, here's the thing is you guys already agreed to go. So we done got tickets. Anyways, so it was good. It was hot. We left early just because of how hot the kids were. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leo had started forming a heat rash and we were like, all right, we're done.
Oh, God love them.
And we were doing everything we could to keep them cool. And yeah, it was just a lot. But no, it was good. And then what else? Oh, we do have to talk about a special someone to a special someone.
Oh, yes. I had forgotten and now I remember.
I did not forget because I was told we are shellfish.
Oh, okay.
And so whenever we talk about just us, I get told we're shellfish. So I would like to just say, Million Oliver sitting in a tree, KISSING, first comes Ooh. Love. Actually, you're not allowed to date till you're 35. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But Million Oliver sitting in a tree.
PALKING. Only.
That's it. Yeah. You hear that, Mil? Only. I don't know anything about him, but Oliver. That's all I know.
I bet he has red hair.
I bet he has freckles.
I bet he has glasses, but the good glasses, like the cool glasses.
The cool. I bet he's short.
Oh, yeah. He's short king. Absolutely. That's how Millie likes him.
I know. Let me think. What else? Probably has spiky hair.
Yes, gels it in the morning.
Probably wears Crocs.
Absolutely wears Crocs. In sport mode.
Uh-huh. In sport mode all the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, yes. Not all the time. He likes to change it up so that everyone can see he's going to sport mode.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You have to make that action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the same.
Switching to sport mode is 90% of sport mode Croc.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think he definitely does that. He's probably into something weird. I don't know. Pokemon is not that weird.
What's weird?
I don't know.
What's something weird? I can't think of anything. I don't know anything because I'm just so cool, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know it's true because I said it.
That's, yeah, exactly. So, first of all, Mill, remember you're not allowed to date till you're 35. Mm-hmm. That, you know what, I was told 35. Yours might actually be different, Mill. You might not be allowed to date until you're 60. I don't know. You're going to have to talk to Dad about that. I don't think you're actually supposed to talk to boys until you're 35 and then dating at 60.
That sounds fair. That sounds completely rational.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds right. So good luck with that, Mill, because you got a lot of older siblings that will help enforce that. So I don't know how you and Oliver are going to last, but
we'll be friends for a very long time.
He's going to be in the friend zone for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
If he stays there, you know he's the one.
Yeah, exactly. If he stays there until you guys are 60, he was worth it.
Yep.
Actually, you were worth the wait. Let's remember that.
Yeah. He respected your boundaries. He's a keeper.
He didn't get a choice because Dad said.
He respected your father's boundaries. He's a keeper.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, so I think that's all I've got. I mean, I feel like there was something else I was supposed to tell you.
I remember that. I don't remember anything
about my children. I do remember what it was. I bought them new sheets and they got here today. And I didn't really look at the pattern very well, apparently, because it was all vehicles. So I thought, oh, cute car sheets.
Yeah.
No big deal. What I didn't realize is that each set of sheets had kind of like a different car type theme. So okay. I'm going to pull it up and show you. So first of all, the first one, it's just like cars. It's just cars cruising along. Got like a truck. There you go.
Is that a tractor?
Yeah, a truck and a tractor. Just like typical cars.
Yeah.
One is more like taxis, fire truck, buses.
Okay. City vehicles.
Yeah. And the third one that came in the pack, because, you know, I'm not buying a pack for how much or not buying just one. The third one that came in the pack was not the type of vehicles I was expecting. It is UFOs and rocket ships.
I love it. And those are the ones you put on immediately, right?
Yes. Yep. Those ones are on JJ's right now. But I thought you would love it because I was like, oh my, that was a mistake. I thought it was just cars.
Right.
No, it is just vehicles. It is things that are somehow making it like going in motion.
That's a win.
I know.
Sounds like.
Right. So, yeah, I just thought I would share that with you. It felt so right when I saw it today. And I was like, why didn't I get two packs of these? So they have the spaceship stuff.
I mean, you can always order another one.
I might just look for straight spaceship sheets.
That's also an idea. A better one, arguably. I appreciate them. I don't know about JJ.
But I really want them for my own bed now. I think that's all I got. I don't think I have anything exciting going on.
I would agree. It's pretty normal, pretty boring, pretty bland here lately. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
You know what? There's one more thing I should tell you about. It involves the babies and Maisie.
Uh-huh. Oh?
These are babies. These are Maisie's babies.
Are they?
Apparently. She is obsessed with them. They will start crying and she will immediately give us attitude.
Get them. What are you doing? Get her babies.
Yeah.
She doesn't have thumbs. She can't do it.
Yeah, get her babies. She's immediately. She is just like, go get my babies. And then we'll be like trying to soothe them or feed them. And she's right in their face checking on them. Like, are you good, bro? You good? Yeah. Okay. And then she'll look at us. She judges us so hard. If like JJ, we were supposed to record yesterday. JJ had cried for like 2.5, 3 hours, something like that, and I couldn't do it anymore. During that time, though, Maisie kept judging me.
Oh. Which helps, obviously.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you need in that situation.
Like, I don't know how else to help out JJ. Like, during that time, the only 15 minutes of silence is when he was eating.
Oh, God, love him.
And so, during all of that time, Maisie would walk up, look at him, and then look at me and grumble. And I'm like, what? What do you want me to do, dog? I can't. Literally nothing I can do. His belly hurts because he hasn't pooped all day, okay? I don't know how to help.
So is he better now?
Yeah, he's pooped a little bit today.
Okay, good deal. That's what we want. We want to poop.
Yeah, we do. Now it's his turn because now we're realizing the other one also hasn't pooped. So I'm going to have 2 upset fussy babies tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Put your head back down. Or not. But yeah, so that was the other thing I was going to tell you is that these are not my babies. They are Maisie's babies, obviously.
That's very similar to Buck when we brought Annie home. With Lee, I think he was a little more used to it.
He was like, I already went through this once. I don't want to do it again.
He was like, what are y'all doing bringing another one home?
He's like, I thought we learned our lesson with the first one. I can't raise another child.
We did not learn our lesson, Buck. I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. I had to bring both of them home. But also, they're super cute, so I couldn't not bring both of them.
It's a matching set. Like, what else are you going to do?
Right, like, you can't get the set, like, one a piece out of the set.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, you ready to talk about some socials?
I am.
Because we do have those. We have these things called Helen Hills Pod, Facebook and Instagram, Helen Hills Podcast. We've got all of those up and going. We post pictures there when Amanda actually posts those pictures. And then,
slacking.
Look, I edit the episodes, so
it's all me. Know.
It's all Amanda there. Unless you want to switch, you can start editing episodes.
I would rather die.
Okay, that's what I thought. We have those all up and going. We also have our link tree, so if you're struggling to find the link for anything, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, you can just Google Helen Hills Podcast link tree. We should be the first thing that comes up. We also have our Discord and our Patreon, so if you want to join on either place, you can join us on Discord and Patreon. And then if you have any suggestions, ideas, whatever it is, you can email us, helenhillspodcast@gmail.com. And then I think that's everything. Well, that's not everything, because I have to tell you guys that if you enjoy listening to us, make sure to tell your friends and family to listen as well, so that we can continue to grow, continue talking shit, talk about Oliver a little bit more, maybe do some more bash on dash sessions, whatever it is.
Always fun.
Always fun. But now I know I'm not ready just based off the fact that you said you could almost do a 2-part episode on this.
Yeah. This is a wild ride, guys. I wanted to find more info, and for whatever reason, it was hard to. Doesn't seem like it should be. But have you ever heard of the Barefoot Bandit?
No.
Okay. So this is something I originally saw on TikTok, and I was like, there's no way that's real. And so I got to looking it up. And like I said, I could easily do 2 parts on this. But I didn't. So here we go. Colton Harris Moore. He was born March 22nd in 1991 in Mount Vernon, Washington. He grew up on Camano Island. His father, Gordon Moore, he was either drunk, on drugs, or in prison in Colton's early life. Sources said that he was pretty much always drunk. He spent his time and money in local bars. He was very abusive to both Colton and Colton's mom, Pam. When Colton was 12, they had a family argument. And from what court documents said, they were having a barbecue. Gordon, or Gordy, as they called him, because Colton did not call him dad. He called him by his name. And he told him to go inside.
Can I try that with you?
I would be mushed on a shoe. Dead.
Yeah. If it makes it, we do call every, if my parents aren't paying attention, we'll say their name to get their attention. Especially if we're like at a family outing or something.
I feel like I've done that before. And that's what this was. It wasn't really a barbecue. It was a barbecue. It wasn't really an outing. It was a family barbecue.
And family anything.
Yeah, it was a family thing. Apparently, Gordon had told Colton to go inside and get, I think it was like the ketchup, and Colton said no. So, he attacked him. I believe he tried to choke him. And
the dad attacked his son.
Yes. And that seemed to be like the final straw. Colton called the cops on his dad. And
that's one hell of an escalation over ketchup.
That's how I feel. Yes.
He's like, you won't get the ketchup? We'll catch these hands.
That's exactly what he did. Unintentionally. And I think he said he threw him in like a sticker bush. And so Colton called the cops. The cops came out, arrested him. And that was the last time they had ever seen him.
Okay.
And from what I did see, it could possibly be because he was pretty much in jail and then moved to a different state and then was pretty much in jail. So.
Okay. Cool.
Pamela Kohler, she said that she noticed very early on that there was a disconnect in Colton. And this is his mother. I don't believe I said that. As early as the first grade, he started acting out in school. He wasn't listening to teachers. He was fighting. He purposely broke things around the house. This is what his mom said. Now, Colton would later tell psychologists that his mom would get drunk and purposely break his things. So it was two sides to that story. And honestly, both of them could be true. He did have a very, very rough childhood. Rough doesn't begin to describe this kid's childhood. Okay. Now this comes directly from court records, the mitigation papers. Pam drank and smoked during her pregnancy. Her family said her habits didn't change at all. Now, Pam said that she smoked lightly during her pregnancy. So it is thought that this had an effect on Colton.
Mm-hmm.
Pam's own brother said that she was mean after one beer, ready to fight after two beers, but she drank 20 beers.
That seems like a lot of beer.
That does feel like a lot of beer. Like, I've had some crazy nights, but I mean, I guess if you're drinking all day, it's possible.
I mean, I guess you could chug.
I cannot chug. I've tried. I'm not a chugger. Yeah. The fuzz.
What if I just go chug, 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 chug? Does that help?
I will sip it lightly with my pinky out.
You know what's really funny is Leo, if his hands are out while we're feeding him with the bottle, he's always got his pinky out.
He's a little gentleman.
Yeah. This one, JJ's not, but it's fine.
Oh. You've got a rough and rumble, and then you've got a gentleman, I don't know, a scholarly gentleman.
I've got the down and dirty and the pristine and proper one.
I like that. Yes, down and dirty and pristine and proper. Now, Pam, she didn't work. She was on disability because of a back injury. Now, I read that she got this injury at work. Colton actually said that she got this injury from Gordon. But she was on disability, and that disability check, she was on Social Security. Either way, she was on assistance, and she spent it on alcohol. She wasn't really worried about food for her or her child. And because of this, Colton had no choice but to resort to stealing. So at a young age, he would break into people's houses and steal food.
At least he's only stealing food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ma'am.
Now, Pam's sister-in-law. Now this, and I didn't put her name in here, but she is the sister of Pam's husband, Colton's stepdad. He was around for a little while, but he died when Colton was very young. And from what I read, Colton said he was still drunk, still did drugs. I believe he did meth. But unlike Gordon, he wasn't abusive to Colton. And he said he never saw him, like he never saw any drugs. He knew he did them, but he never saw them.
It wasn't like I'm getting high in front of you.
Right. Yeah. So it was like he still wasn't the best influence, but it sounded like he was the best influence that Colton had.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, he did die when Colton was young. And Pam's sister-in-law, his sister, claimed that she only met Colton one time when he was 4. And Pam introduced him as a little bastard. And she wished he had been born dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
That seems really aggressive.
Oh, yes. She actually told another story where I don't believe Colton was there with them, but Pam and her husband, they were over at the family's, and I guess Pam had met the family. They were having dinner. And she said just out of nowhere, like, Pam just got pissed off and just started screaming and yelling, and it was all very aggressive, and the whole family was just like, what's
happening?
Yeah, what's going on? Pam was also said to have dated multiple men, at least 3, that were abusive to Colton. And these people typically lived with them. Pam would meet men through a prison pen pal system. And when they got out of prison, they would come to live with them. 3 of them, like I said, at least were abusive to Colton.
Look, it was also I know dating apps weren't a thing, but mm-hmm. boy, was she doing the OG dating app there.
I mean, yeah, kinda. Like, you literally have your pick. So like, you just care. Go and you're like, I want to write that
one.
Yeah. It was also stated that Pam and Colton would physically fight from the time he was 11 to the time he ran away. And there was also stories from neighbors. Neighbors claimed to have called child services several times, thinking Colton was abused or neglected or both. One source said that there was at least a dozen calls by the time he was 12.
Well, I guess one call a year.
Yeah. I didn't put that math together.
Well, unless 7 you were thinking old, a baker's dozen.
I was just thinking, like, they called all the time. Like, from what I read, it was nothing to hear Pam yelling and, like, yelling obscenities in the middle of the night, screaming them, shooting a shotgun off into the air or through the woods. They allegedly called the cops on her about this because, I mean, yeah, her neighbors were far away, but there's still people there, and mm-hmm. nothing ever happened. I saw countless times people saying that boy had no chance.
That's just mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering his upbringing, and that's what they were saying it in reference to. Like, with what he was living with, he just had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
At 7 years old, that's when he started breaking into vacation homes. And he was stealing food, water, blankets, and then he'd just go disappear in the woods for days at a time.
Which is the necessities.
Yeah. Yeah.
For now, just necessities.
Yeah. He was first convicted for stealing at 12 years old, and he'd had 3 more charges by the time he was 13. By the time he was 16, his rap sheet included theft, burglary, malicious mischief, assault, and others.
What's malicious mischief?
That's what I was thinking. Hey, Dad? I did not Google that.
Dad, tell me what malicious mischief is.
I'm guessing maybe he's just like hanging, like trespassing, but with a lockpick? I don't know. That's me guessing. Let's see. Mischievous mischief. Oh my God.
Are you okay? Did you just have a stroke?
Maybe. I may have, and everybody heard it. Is that toast? the willful destruction of another person's property for vicious, wanton, or mischievous purposes. So he's being a little shit.
Okay. That's but just also, a charge I've never heard.
I haven't either.
Vandalism.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe it's like he got mad at this person and he egged their house or something.
Vandalism.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a cop. Did y'all know that?
Dad, you're not a cop either anymore, but could you tell us the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference? Is one nicer than the other one? Because they both sound pretty crappy. Anyway, so he's eventually arrested and he's sentenced to 3 years in a juvenile correctional facility close to Seattle, Washington. And he was there for a couple months. You can see pictures online. I know one of them is him and Pam in this facility next to a Christmas tree. So she would visit him until April 2008.
So weird. Like, you guys are abusing each other, physical fights, and you're visiting him while he's in jail. Like, I don't know.
Bro, their relationship is strained. I'm going to say that. It's so in April 2008, he climbed out the window of this correctional facility and just ran away.
It's that easy? You just climb out a window?
Apparently. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. But I mean, it is a juvenile correctional facility. So maybe he, I mean, he's not in, you know, like a high facility, high security.
It's still a correctional facility.
Yeah, and he's 16. But he has a history of breaking into houses. Maybe that means he also knows how to break out of them.
He's not breaking out of a house.
Look, I'm just telling you what I read here. I don't get it either. I've never been to any sort of correctional facility. So
you've never been to juvie?
No, my parents threatened it a lot, but no.
Look, my parents just said if we ended up in jail, juvie, anything, they weren't bailing us out.
My parents said that too. They were like, don't call us. My dad was like, don't come back here with the cops following you. Because I'm locking the door. And I'm like, oh, that's mean.
Basically what my parents would say.
So after he escaped, people, they didn't necessarily find him. They found things that he probably left behind. So there was one specific house on Kamano Island that was broken into 8 times, with mostly food being stolen. And the owner of this house said that a while later, she found junk food wrappers in a treehouse. It was unclear if this was like the same homeowner or a different one, but the same house was broken into. They found food wrappers in a treehouse not far from it. July 18th, 2007. Nope, sorry, 2008. So, about 3 months after he broke out, he stole a BMW and wrecked. And he, police did not catch him. But later, they found...
Because he was in a BMW zooming away.
I mean, yeah. So there's a picture of him. There's many pictures of him, but there's one in particular. It's that second photo of him, the selfie, and he has a BMW t-shirt on. They found this in an area that he was hiding out in because he was known to steal electronics and stuff, take a selfie. Police would find it later. And this specific picture became like, he became infamous for it. They put it on his wanted posters. So this is a very well-known photo of him. It also feels like a slap in the face to me to steal a BMW, take a selfie with some stolen cameras, and then presumably leave it behind for the police to find. Because this happens multiple times with the selfie. So it has to be on purpose, I would imagine.
Feels like it. He is like, look, I was here. It's like he's checking in his location on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. Jerk. In November 2008, Colton stole a Cessna single-engine airplane from a locked hangar on Orcas Island.
He's now, just stealing everything. He's like, I want to be a pilot today.
Funny you should say that. It was his life's dream to be a pilot. He drew pictures of planes all the time. He was obsessed. He read books and watched DVDs on how to fly. And then, with no formal training, he stole this airplane. Is labeled as number one there. And this was the plane of Seattle radio personality Bob Rivers. Colton flew this plane over the Cascade Mountain Range in a blizzard, 250 miles to a field outside Yakima, Washington, where he crashed this plane and just walked away.
God.
And police knew it was him because they found dried vomit in the plane. And apparently
probably
it was
a camera
later linked to him. Probably. Oh. So, yeah, just wild to me that he taught himself to fly and just flew. But from there,
he's like, I'm going to fly like an eagle.
Only not to the sea, to Yakima.
He didn't really have the same. He crashed. He's got to work on his landing.
He does. And he doesn't get any better, I'm going to tell you now.
Oh, okay.
From the field, he stole away in a freight train and he rode it all the way to Reno, Nevada. While there, he allegedly worked in a casino for 6 months. And then next thing we know, Colton was back in Washington State. On September 5th, he attempted to break into the ATM and the night deposit of Islanders Bank in East Sound, Washington. And he used tools to do this from an Ace Hardware in East Sound that he had also broken into. And he did more than $1,000 damage trying to break into this bank.
I mean, someone's paying for something there.
After this, he traveled to Preston, which is British Columbia, or which is in British Columbia, Canada, and he stole a .32 caliber pistol. He brought that back with him to the United States, and September 29th, 2009, he stole his second plane from Bonners Ferry, Idaho, and he crashed that plane near Granite Falls, Washington. In Granite Falls, he also stole a .22 caliber pistol. And around this time, guys, this is a short version of this, okay? So around this time, he's starting to get a little infamous. Fan pages are popping up on Facebook. People are selling t-shirts that said Fly Colton Fly and Mama Tried. The band Negative Zero wrote a song called Barefoot Bandit. People had like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde attitude towards him. And the police are pissed because he's making them look dumb.
I mean,
16.
I mean, that's kind of the police's problem. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah. Agreed. 16? No, sorry. In 2008, he was 17. Pardon me.
16, 17.
Still, just this is crazy.
Look, I'm 30 and I can't imagine evading police.
I'm 30 and I can't. Honestly, same. Evading police, stealing a car, stealing a plane? No. Vomiting in a plane? Can't imagine.
I can see that one. Yeah. I wouldn't vomit in a plane. But that's because I like flying.
Yeah.
But
if we're talking about his accomplishments compared to mine, that's the closest I'm at.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can lose a camera somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I've done that. Yeah. Colton continued breaking into house, and he was sleeping, bathing, eating their food, stealing electronics, and just trashing the place. Multiple sources said that he apparently loved popcorn. Like, they would find popcorn just everywhere in multiple places that were burglarized.
You know what? That extra butter movie theater popcorn.
I mean, it does, but if you're finding that much of it, are you even eating it? Like, what are you doing? You have to be just throwing it on the floor or something.
Did the people have dogs? Was he throwing? Look, I'm not saying I do this. I'm not saying I don't do it. But sometimes when I have popcorn, I allow the dogs to be hoovers. And I just throw some popcorn on the floor for them.
No, I do the same thing. Buck loves popcorn.
Just throw it. I'm telling you, if you are a dog owner and you like your dogs enough to share your popcorn with them, don't lie and tell us you hand feed it to them. You throw it on the floor and let them hoover it up.
Look who's coming up because he heard popcorn. Yeah, they know. He allegedly traveled from one small airport to another trying to find another plane because the security was typically lower around these. And eventually, in September, he stole his third plane, a Cessna T182T.
What was his second plane again?
I think it was also a Cessna.
Because the first plane was a Cessna.
Yeah, I didn't write that down, but I think they were all Cessnas. I don't know if maybe that's because that's what he read. I don't know if maybe that's just common amongst, you know, like personal planes. Yeah, so he stole another Cessna from northern Idaho and crossed the Cascade Mountains again. And this time he crashed in a field near Granite Falls, Washington. He stole his fourth plane on February 2010. He flew from Anacortes, Washington, east to East Sound, Washington. This time he almost landed it. Doing pretty good.
He's
going
learning.
Down the runway. Yeah. He was on the runway. And then it veered off the side and into the mud. And he basically destroyed the wheel covers. And I did find it kind of funny that even though he did this damage to it, the owner claimed that they spent more money having the fingerprint dust cleaned from their plane than the damage that Colton did to it.
Well, I mean, I guess that fingerprint dust does stick around, right?
I guess. I think that's the point.
Actually, no, because you're supposed to then basically put tape on it and pull it off so that it sticks to the tape.
Yeah, but that's a tape,
he
right?
He had his, the owner had his plane thoroughly cleaned and was like, it just costs a lot. The fingerprint dust.
The owner has a plane. I feel like you can afford to get someone to clean it, right?
I would think.
Just hose it off. It'll be fine.
It's a plane. Fine. The rain will wash it.
Now, throughout this time, he's also like, I mean, he's kind of torturing the community. Like, all right, March 10th.
I feel like he's more torturing the police.
Oh, just wait, because I have details now. This is where I got into a little bit of details. March 10th, back at Orcas Homegrown Market. And when the owner comes in, they find their expensive security system in a sink full of water. No evidence was salvageable from this system. But they did find 39 footprints throughout the store. 39 hand-drawn, cartoon-style chalk footprints. Going through the store, seemingly where the thief went, and then they stopped at a side door where the person wrote, "See ya."
See ya.
Yeah, and there's a photo of those as well.
Oh, God.
This store would be burglarized 3 more times. Food was stolen, including a blueberry cheesecake and a platter of ham and cheese croissants. Their ATM was vandalized.
So he was Colton, saying, see you later.
Yeah. And apparently he did, because he kept coming back. Colton was believed to be hiding in a forest as police tried to solve the over 20 burglaries in the area, homes and businesses. May 31st, 2010, Colton stole a 34-foot boat and traveled from Iwako, Washington to Warrenton, Oregon. Supposedly on the way, so it was late May, early June, workers at Vetters Animal Hospital in Raymond, Washington, they came in one morning and they found a note with $100 in small bills. And this note said, "Drove by, had some extra cash. Please use this money for the care of animals." signed Colton Harris Moore, in parentheses, aka the Barefoot Bandit, Camano Island, Washington.
Oh, so he dubbed himself the Barefoot Bandit.
Hard to say, because people started calling him this because he left footprints in a lot of places, not just the cartoon ones, but they were in multiple places. They were in the mud outside houses. I think they were in houses. They found them in one of the places where the plane was stolen from. And so
you think people saw the footprints and went, damn it, Colton.
I think so. Yeah.
Couldn't at least clean up after yourself. You had crack in mud.
Popcorn and mud? Come on now.
Look, if Buck benefit from the popcorn, it's not a big deal. But if it's still on the floor, he clearly didn't.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. He was just being a menace. So, yeah. And this too, like, okay, your heart's in the right place. This is very noble. But they can't do that, you dingus. That's stolen money. They have to give it to the cop. It's evident.
I mean, they don't know if that was stolen or earned, okay?
We all know that was stolen.
I'm just saying, maybe he earned it by stealing it.
Is that how that works? Because I feel like your father would have different opinions on that. Very different. You know what? He is dialing you now, actually.
I'm not condoning his behavior. I'm just saying he earned it. It was a lot of hard work to get that money in his pocket.
I am condoning donating to animals. I'm all for that.
That's fine. That's why I'm saying that money specifically, he earned it.
I did see in one source that, yes, they turned this over to the police. But his mother actually went back and donated her money in his place. That was in one source. I don't know if that's true. Okay.
I mean, I hope it's true. His mom's like, the one thing you do right, now I've got to go rectify it.
And it could be, because from what I read, they had a ton of animals growing up. Dogs, chickens, pigs, like, all sorts of stuff.
Did they have goats? My parents now have goats.
Maybe. Your parents, how many goats do they have?
Just two.
Okay, they need to calm down.
6 dogs, 2 goats, who knows how many cats.
You know what? If you got the land, do it.
They do. They're also planning for mini cows.
Absolutely. 100%.
Or at least I should say they're wanting them. And I should say by they, I mean my mom.
Okay, your dad would be insane not to want a mini cow. It's like a big cow, just a couple hundred pounds less. Like, what's not to love? And but cows are like big puppies.
He has to build its place, its residence.
Pish posh.
And it's really a want from my mom and Mel, so.
Mm-hmm. They can get it. Mel can make that happen.
My mom made goats happen.
That was the start.
Dad, you know what's happening, so I don't know what to tell you.
Why are you putting it off? Just go ahead and start building.
You might as well expand the goats area just in case.
So the next day he stole a $450,000 fishing boat from a town just south of Raymond. On the 4th of July, Colton stole the final plane from Bloomington, Indiana, and it was found crashed in shallow water after he ran out of gas.
Oh man, he
won. 1,000 miles away in the Bahamas.
I mean, he was going for a ride.
He was going for, like, yeah, you run out of gas. I don't know how much gas is in a plane, but 1,000 miles feels like a stretch.
Yeah. He's surviving all these plane crashes. I don't know.
That's my question. And, like, not only surviving, but, like, being unhurt enough to run away from police. Yeah. Well, he didn't do that then. So he's in the Bahamas. From there, he stole a 44-foot-long powerboat and fled to the Bahamian island of Eleuthera. And he was believed to be responsible for 7 burglaries there. And that's also...
He's in the Bahamas. He can't get back home at this point. Unless he's swimming.
He was going to try. He kept stealing boats. He was actually on a stolen boat when he was finally apprehended on July 11th, 2010 by Bahamian police after they shot out the engine of that boat that he was using to try to flee. Again. And at this time, Colton was 19 years old. He pled guilty on July 13th, 2010 to illegal entry to the Bahamas and illegally landing a plane. Landing a plane felt generous there. And he was given a choice. He could serve 3 months in jail or pay a $300 fine. So his mother, again, she wired the money to the U.S. Embassy, who paid the fine, and they got Colton free. And from there, the Bahamian authorities deported him the same day. They flew with him. They escorted him, I should say.
They're like, he is. That same night. He is absolutely going back.
Yeah. They were like, okay, U.S., we did you a favor and we're not going to mess it up. So we're going to bring you to him. Bring him to you. Yeah. They stuck him on a red eye and flew him to Miami, Florida, and handed him over to the FBI. In Miami, he appeared before the U.S. magistrate July 16th, Judge Robert Dube, I think. He ruled that Colton would be sent to Washington State to face charges since he was arrested on their warrant. So,
please stop sending him places. You guys can't keep him.
It's kind of funny, though, that, like, you flew all these planes, but that's what flew you back to jail, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, while in Florida, he was held at the Federal Detention Center. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for that addition to the story, Lee.
Thank you very much. That was very wise.
Okay.
It's my turn to talk now. It's been my turn, actually, but you know, kids.
Could you maybe not be so rude?
He was held at the Federal Detention Center in Miami until July 21st, where he was then transferred to the Federal Detention Center in SeaTac, Washington. And they, during this journey, he wore handcuffs and leg irons the entire way. They were like, we're not messing this up.
I mean, they were not messing around. They're like, look, we already effed it up once. We have to un-eff it.
We gotta un-eff it. On November 18th, 2010, he pled not guilty to charges of interstate transportation of a stolen plane, boat, and gun, being a fugitive in possession of a firearm, and flying a plane without a pilot's license. And prosecutors wanted Moore to spend 6 years in prison. July 2010, Moore pled guilty to all counts on the federal indictment. So, that's the federal indictment. He was still facing 10 years in prison for a break-in and burglary in Granite Falls, Washington, in state court. And in this... break-in and burglary, I believe this is the one where he broke into a family's house. This family came home and they came home to find a naked teenager in their house. And he then pulled a gun on them when the father, the man of the house, tried to attack him and was basically, you know, what are you doing in my house? Colton pulled a gun on him. So this is what he was facing 10 years in prison for in state court. For that trial, during sentencing, the defense argued that his psychiatric conditions and a bleak childhood should be taken into account. The only psychiatric condition I could find in court documents was ADHD. So, hey, don't be mean. Judgmental? So, I don't know what that means, but also with a childhood like he had, I could very easily see them also claiming, like, oh, heck. What's it called when you go through something traumatic? People PTSD? Get a lot. Yes, thank you. Some kind of PTSD or His trial in state court was Friday, December 16th, 2011, in Island County, Washington. And his judge for that trial was lenient after hearing about his childhood and sentenced him to 7 to 10 years in prison. It said specifically more than 7 years, but it was 7 to 10. On January 27th, 2012, Judge Richard Jones, the federal district court in Seattle, Washington, was over sentencing for Colton's federal crime. According to court documents, Colton's long string of thefts and burglaries across multiple states and countries included various car thefts in Idaho and Wyoming, burglaries, thefts, and auto thefts in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and Indiana, including multiple burglaries at small airports. And look, that's not a complete list. I couldn't find a complete list, but I did find where his own lawyer told the media that Colton had 70 charges in 6 states and 3 different countries.
You know what? I want to call him almost an entrepreneur, but like, you know, for different reasons.
While on the run, right
spirit, I guess.
I don't know if that's what they mean by American dream.
Hey,
I think you still have to work for it.
You got to tell Colton that, not me.
While on the run, Colton was said to have stolen jewelry, iPods, cell phones, laptops, clothes, money, 14 cars, 11 boats, and 5 planes. Now, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
That doesn't seem like enough.
That's what I said. Does that not feel really low?
Like, he's a repeat offender.
Yeah, he was a repeat offender before he went on this run. And 3 countries? 6 states? That feels really low. And so, that was his federal sentencing. He did take a plea deal. He sold the rights to his life story for $1.3 million, but he didn't get any of it because of this plea deal. Part of his plea deal was that he cannot profit directly or indirectly or help anybody else profit from his crime. So I guess what that means is no one can profit for him on his behalf. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so like his mom couldn't profit.
Right, exactly. So even though he sold the rights to his life story, none of that went to him. The profits from that sale went to the $1.4 million in restitution fees that he owed his victims. So these 6 years in prison, they were also said to be served. What's the word? I don't think it's concurrently. He could serve both his state and federal sentences at the same time.
Consecutively?
Is it consecutively?
I don't know.
I don't either. But basically, yeah. So he's not serving state. He's not going for 6 years and then going for 7 to 10. He's just going for 7 to 10, which feels like even more lenient. But I'm not a judge, so I don't know. I do appreciate, though, that like I couldn't find details on that plea deal, but I am happy that he's not able to profit from this at all. So July 26th.
Concurrent.
Okay, they were served concurrently.
Yeah, consecutive would make them go one after
back
the other.
Back to back. Okay. Thank you. July 26, 2016, Colton was released on probation to a halfway house in Seattle. And I read in multiple sources that he was having trouble finding a job. And I wrote in my notes here, blink, blink, because, sir, you're a felon.
I mean, maybe he could get a job as a pilot somewhere.
Well, he did actually get a job doing low-level clerical work for his attorney. Which his attorney said that the bar was probably going to be pissed when they found that out. but he wasn't around any like any client information, anything that should be.
He didn't. Yeah, nothing proprietary. Yeah.
In 2017, I want your thoughts on this. In 2017, Colton told the media that his dream had been crushed after his probation officer made him take down a GoFundMe with a goal of $125,000 to pay for his flight school.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
Like
you... I understand your dreams have been crushed, but you crushed a lot of people's boats, planes, and cars, sir.
Those could have been their dreams.
Yeah. You don't think they worked hard?
Boats are not cheap, guys.
He had raised, when they made him take it down, he had raised $1,500. And his probation officer made him put that towards the $129,000 he still owed his victims at the time.
Fair.
Yeah. And that's the story of Colton Harris Moore, the Barefoot Bandit.
Maybe it's just me, but I don't get how he wasn't caught sooner.
I don't really either. I guess he was kind of wily. I don't know. Like,
I mean,
guys, he was a kid.
I don't know. I don't get it, you know? But then again, I'm just here. I can't even imagine evading police for like a minute.
True. And I imagine if you grow up evading your parents, then
that you probably would be got some good pretty... at it. Yeah, yeah. But like, I didn't evade my parents. Like, I've seen my dad's dance skills. I tried to avoid those, but there, mm-hmm. Those were passed down. Those are in my genes. Okay.
Oh, is that why you don't dance?
Well, that's why we're starting to dance, is to embarrass the boys.
Ah, okay. Makes
sense. I gotta practice, yeah. But the point being is, I don't even know how to evade my own heck, my parents can't evade me as I'm over here calling my mom. Hey, mom! Or hey,
you wanna
dad!
You wanna go watch a baseball tomorrow? A baseball, a game.
You wanna go watch a baseball tomorrow? Just the ball.
Just the ball. We're not gonna watch anything else.
Nope. We're just watching the ball. Don't worry about it. And then I was like, okay, meet me there because I got the ticket. My bad. But it's just mind blown.
Yeah, this one was a wild ride.
You know, I kind of like him though. Like I mean, there's boo-hoo moments, but you know what? He was wily. He didn't cause any physical harm to people. So, I mean, maybe some financial harm, emotional distress from their planes being crashed.
I don't know. I feel like if I was a family that got home from vacation or something and found a naked teenager in my home,
that's not physical harm. That would stick with me as a child. That's mental. That's emotional. Yeah. That's different.
Just saying. And he pulled a gun on him.
Still no physical harm done. But that's like the only incident that I've heard or I remember.
There were other ones that I didn't include. The other one that I specifically remember I saw a lot was that he potentially shot at police. But it's never been proven where those shots come from. They were chasing him, but they never saw him. And he didn't hit it. Well, the bullets didn't hit anybody. So it's believed that he fired in the direction of police. But like I said, I didn't mention that because it's unproven.
Okay, well, I guess maybe he still sucks. I'm just saying, like, comparatively to some of these other cases we cover.
I think he's just cocky.
I mean, he should have been brought down a notch.
Got to fit like he...
Lee literally just yanked Amanda's headphones off and was like, no, listen to me. I'm the center of attention, not whatever's on your head.
Yoinked them off my whole head.
And he didn't even hesitate.
No. It was just one swift motion. I didn't even have time to react.
Oh, now he's going for the microphone. Does he sleep ever? Because I feel like he sleeps in like 10-minute increments.
He's asleep really early. Like, normally we put him down at about 7, which he didn't go to sleep tonight until 10 till 8. But he normally sleeps from about 7 to 10, and he'll wake up and I'll, like, change a diaper and give him a bottle before he goes to bed. But I don't know what tonight is. I guess he just wanted to hang out with us.
Well, he did that last time we recorded, too. Wanted to hang out. He must hear you and be like, Mom's awake, it's party time.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because he's in his mom stage. And by mom stage, I mean, no, Dad. Who are you? What do you want? Where's my mom? So when James tries to put him back down, no. No.
What happens if you're not home?
He's with me. I do not leave him.
What happens if he is home with James and you're not there because you did a girls' weekend? I don't know.
That never happens.
I'm saying, what if?
Oh, it wouldn't happen. James would divorce me. Because he just, like, he screams like a banshee. Like, it's completely irrational. And the minute I take him from James, it's just zip.
I feel like he's going to pull those off your head again. But are you ready for a different story?
I am, yes.
Well, I mean, I'm technically going to do this in a couple parts. But it's not one that I have to do, like, back-to-back parts. Because we're going back to our cryptids by state.
Ooh, okay.
We're going to start with some California cryptids. I shouldn't say start with. We are doing California cryptids. There are more California cryptids that I will cover. I just decided because Amanda made a mention that her story could be two parts. And so I figured hers was probably longer. So I shortened mine.
And then I was like, no, just kidding. It's just one.
Sorry. Well, even at that, I figured it was probably longer. You know?
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about a couple of different legends and cryptids in California. Do I want to let you choose what we're doing for? No, I'm just going to go for it. We're going to start with the cactus cat. These are all super short, by the way, and there's only three, but I want to hear your thoughts on all three of them.
Okay, done.
Okay. So cactus cat. This critter is said to be about the size of a bobcat and resemble a bobcat as well, except they're covered in thorn-like hair. They have long spines, or they were also described as bones, on their front legs, and their tails are said to be armored and branched with those same bone or spike-like whatever on their tails. And some also describe this cat or these cats as being green as well. Now, there are depictions of this thing on the drive. I would like you to look at it and tell me. There's one specific picture I want you to look at, and it's the second one.
That's the one I am looking at. And this thing, I would have one. I love them. I absolutely love them.
Okay, I figured.
I would not call those bones on his legs, though. They look like knives.
They do look like knives. I do think this depiction makes it look all fluffy and stuff, all cuddly, like a cat.
But really, it's dangerous, like a cactus.
I mean, to cuddle, yeah. But let's just talk about this. Now, just before we get into what this cat eats, I guess, a lot of people claim that they heard its haunting wail in the night, because it's mostly a desert creature, in case you guys did not catch on. And it's Southern California that these are found or claim to be found. And they also have people that claim they could hear the dry sound of the bones or spurs or knives, whatever you want to call them, rubbing together or cackling together when they walk.
That's disgusting.
I'm just telling you what report said.
Hate that. Now,
it's believed that they use the long spines or knives or whatever you want on their front paws. They use these to slash at cacti during the night. So they would slash at the cacti. This would open up the cactus, and juice from it would then just kind of run out. And then the cat would leave and go to the next cactus and slash at it. And leave and go to the next cactus and slash at it.
So do they drink this juice, or are they just like...
Hold on. We're going to talk about it.
My bad. Okay. So
basically, they would start their night by slashing their first cactus, and then they would go on to all of the other ones, and then they would make their way back to the first cactus at some point. You know, later in the night, they return, and they drink the juice that would now be fermented. So according to sources, they basically, these cats essentially went around every night getting drunk.
Why does it ferment so quickly?
I don't know if it does. I'm just telling you what sources are telling me.
Okay, so they're partying. All right.
Yeah, it's drunk as a skunk, stumbling around. No big deal. It's
okay.
Harmless. This cat is harmless. They're not really aggressive. I mean, they're not mean drunks, I guess. And they're not aggressive in general, or they weren't. But it is said that it's possible for you to be attacked. Would you like to know when they attack?
Is it when they run out of cactus juice? Cactus alcohol?
Kind of. It's not when they run out. They are known to attack and kill people who would steal their cactus juice.
Well, you know what? That's kind of your own fault.
Yeah, don't, if you see a slashed open cactus, don't go for the, I believe sources were calling it mezcal. I don't know. I assume that's what cactus juice is. So they're typically...
You can go to Trader Joe's and get your own damn cactus juice.
I'm just telling you, this is when the cactus cat strikes. Is they're like, you're messing with my booze, I'm gonna mess with your life. Okay. Now, individuals, if they survive, they would wake up with welts all over caused by the cactus cat's barbed tail. And some sources claims that when they would pass away from the attack, the welts could look like the effects of a heat rash.
Oh, okay.
So... Now, the cactus cat is believed to be the descendant of the wampus cat and the bald-tailed cat, which are two that we've covered.
Okay. I love it.
So, that is the cactus cat. Drunk as a skunk, just wandering about the California desert.
I like that. Like, when you say cat, I'm thinking, like, you know, a little tabby cat. No, these are more like Maine Coons. Like, these are big old cats.
They're about the size of bobcats.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
She doesn't.
Okay, you say cactus cat. You didn't say cactus bobcat.
Because it's not called a cactus bobcat. It's called the cactus cat.
And that's not my fault. I'm just saying. I was thinking of like a cuddly little tabby. Like, no, this guy's like, what is that? Like thigh height, face to thigh.
Oh, he's a big guy. And like the poof on his head in the one depiction.
I love the poof on his head. Like, I don't know if those are supposed to be ears, but I love them.
I don't know if they're supposed to be ears either. And then you have the other one where it's like standing with the cactus. That's a drawing or a black and white drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to think about it, but I do think it's ears.
I still feel like it's ears. Yeah, that one looks... That one, I don't like that one. I don't know what it is about that one. It just kind of makes me uncomfortable the way he's looking. Because
he's leaning against the cactus like, hey girl, come here.
Yeah, I was going to say, he kind of looks seductive and it's making me uncomfortable. Like, sir, go back to drinking your juice, please.
Amanda's over here like, I'm married.
Yeah, I'm married and I have a small child.
Two small children.
Yeah. Well, she's a small child and a hurricane.
They're still small children. All right, next cryptid. Let's do the Hyampum Hog Bear. Hyampum Hog Bear. Now, this one is a North American lumberjack story. So is the cactus cat. The cactus cat is not. But this one is coming from the North American lumberjacks. The hog bear, as it's often called, because Hyampum is way too much. The hog bear resembles a small black or brown bear. They physically very closely look like the black or brown bears, right? In some descriptions, they have a much sharper looking nose. And other descriptions state that they have a swine-like nose.
Don't care for that.
Okay. They also have curly fur. Oh. A lot of people call it cinnamon-colored fur.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Yeah. Some descriptions said they have a smushed face, kind of like a pug. some descriptions that they're very large. There are also some descriptions that talked about their saliva that is capable of producing a paralyzing musk. And this is described as it's paralyzing the muscular systems and diaphragms of warm-blooded animals.
Oh, okay. So most of them.
Uh-huh.
So us.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Don't worry. We're not its target.
The diaphragms specifically?
Yeah. Every source said diaphragm.
Okay, cool. So
muscular systems, muscular systems and diaphragm.
Perfect. I mean, so they can't move or breathe.
Yeah. So you're just kind of screwed.
Okay.
Well, let's just talk about, look, these are, okay, before we get into what they eat, again, we're going to talk about what they eat. But they are believed to live in Northern California or further north into Washington and Oregon area. Some sources stated they live in the mouth of the Columbia River, but south of the Klamath River. So it just kind of depends on the source you're looking at. But Northern California. Now, the hog bear loves it some bacon. It is a bacon beast. It loves the taste of pork.
I mean, it's pretty good.
They're just bacon fiends. So the legend is that in Northern California, there was a rise in raising of pigs in the late 19th century. It was super popular to raise pigs. Farmers had pigs all over, swine, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of them were free roaming is from what I could find. Okay. And so basically what would happen is throughout the year, I mean, they're in a wooded area and it's filled with these oak trees. These oak trees produce acorns, which is the pig's favorite food. And so throughout the year, the lower you are, the sooner they ripen. And then as you go up in altitude, the acorns ripen later in the year.
Makes sense.
And so these pigs or the hogs, they, you know, they start scavenging for acorns and they just kind of follow it up the mountain throughout the year. When the pigs make it up the mountain where, you know, it's into the acorns, they're nice and plump right around Christmas time. They're fat, round. This is about when they would be discovered by the bears from what I could find.
Oh, okay. So they waited for prime pickings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about it. The hog bear, they would wait at the top of the hills. And when this big old plump hog or pig would waddle on by, the hog bear would jump out to scare the pigs. Now, keep in mind, this is at the top of a hill. The pigs would then be so fat and scared, they would roll downhill.
So it was a swine decline?
Yes. Okay. So now you have all these plump pigs so scared they rolled down the hill. Some of them have turtled and they're stuck on their back.
Oh.
The hog bear would begin their feast. And they would have such a feast that they would only take one bite of each pig's behind because each pig was so fat and succulent. So they claim to have seen the bear pick up the pig, take its bite, move on to the next one. I just imagine like a cartoon like picking up the bear, having a bite, or the pig having a bite, tossing it to the side. This would cause the pigs to bleed out and no longer be viable livestock because they're gone.
Why the butt? Is that just...
That's the juiciest, fattest... I don't know.
These poor pigs, man.
I know. So, the pigs would, you know, bleed out. And this really ticked off the farmers. They did not like this circle of life.
I understandable.
Okay. Here's my thing. Hold on. If you don't want your pigs going up the mountain where the hog bears are, maybe don't let them free roam that far.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe a fence.
Throwing just it
suggestion.
Out there. I'm going to talk a little bit more. So pig farmers, they're ticked. Right, that like I said, personal problem. Maybe fence them in. Now, a lot of farmers would start hunting them very frequently because they were hunting the pig bear or the hog bears. Okay. Very frequently because it was affecting their livestock. Now, the hog bear is said that many of the farmers had found hog bears that had learned how to fence and raise the pigs themselves.
Oh my God, we're being outdone by bears.
So I guess they didn't learn their lesson, but the bears were like, look, bro, you don't want us eating your pigs. These are mine. I figured out how to fence them in, and mind I'm just raising business. Them myself. And now you're hunting me. Like, what do you want me to do? That's the rumor. That's the legend. Okay. Now, there is one man rumored to have captured a cub Hyampom hog bear. He has one of the best names I've ever heard. Eugene S. Bruce.
Eugene S. Bruce?
Yes.
I love it.
I don't know how else. I made a mistake naming my children. I should have named one Eugene, the other Bruce.
Eugene always reminds me of Hey Arnold.
Yeah, kind of. But he claimed that he captured one. So he was examining timber on a tributary of the Klamath River. He was actually like a Forest Services type of person. And that's when he would just capture this bear, this cub, with his bare hands, which seems like a risky move. There. Yeah, with his bare hands. That seemed like a risky move to me.
Because of the slobber.
No, more because he captured a baby. And where there's a baby, there's a mama.
Usually, yeah.
And you're going to have a bear of a time with that. So, Ooh, he was fine. He captured this cub, moved on. So he presents the baby to the National Zoo in Washington, and they take it on and watch its development. However, there are no records of the bear in existence as of today, so no one can prove what type of bear it is. Most people believe it was either a brown or a black bear. There is a picture of Mr. Eugene Bruce with his bear that looks just like a bear. But a lot of people will cite this as being a hog bear.
I mean, we can't really see the nose.
I feel like you can see it pretty well.
Okay.
I don't
feel like it's in the dirt.
It might be in the dirt, but I don't feel like it's looking like a pig's nose.
It doesn't look squished like a pug. But I mean, it can have an oinker on the end of that. We don't know.
I just don't think it does. But that is the hog bear. I don't really know. I mean, my biggest thing on this one is how it's eating the nice plump pigs. Like, save some bacon for the rest of us.
Honestly. And don't be so wasteful.
Right? You take more one. Than us. But that's the fatty part. That's the good part.
Look, I love a rump roast just as much as the next person. Okay. But like, tell me some ribs. Some ribs.
I'm telling you, the hog bear doesn't care. They want that booty.
That's our motto for the rest of the year. Hog bear don't care.
All right. The last, I don't really know if you want to call it a cryptid, but this is what we're going to call it. The last cryptid are called the Dark Watchers.
Hate this. Hate it.
Okay.
Hate it.
I assume you've looked at pictures.
Yeah.
This is the creepiest one, in my opinion. So I saved it for last.
Ooh, vomit.
So, the Dark Watchers. They are giant humanoid or humanesque phantoms that lurk inside and on the Santa Lucia Mountains. They are described as tall, sometimes even described as giant. Most descriptions said they were between 7 to 15 feet tall.
Yeah, giant. Fair.
They are featureless. They are dark silhouettes, sometimes appearing to be wearing brimmed hats or having walking sticks or having flowing cloaks. Which, those felt like features to me. But I know it was talking about facial features.
Yeah, I was going to say. But I see what you mean. I get it, but...
Garbage. Yeah. That's how all sources was like, they're featureless, but they have like brimmed hats or a walking stick or
They're featureless other than these very specific
features. Yeah. It is referring to their face, and you know, they're just a silhouette with very minimal things that you can make out. Now, the legend says that the Dark Watchers can only be seen at twilight or at dawn, and they can be seen at the top of the Santa Lucia Mountains. And when they are seen, they appear to be staring out into space below the mountains. Some say they are motionlessly watching the travelers along the mountain. And then they can completely vanish in the blink of an eye.
Oh, perfect.
No one has ever gotten close enough to these beings to tell anything else about them. Now, some sources say these beings go all the way back to the Kumash Indian history or the Kumash Native American history and lore. Some people say that there's art and drawings in cave walls on the mountains that, you know, are reflective of the Dark Watchers. Other sources say that no, the Kumash, I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm sorry. It might be Chumash. I'm sorry. I don't know how to say things. It's fine. But it's saying that this Native American tribe has no reference to these beings in their lore and history. So you have a lot of conflict about where they started. But from what I could see is historically, they did not appear until Spanish settlers arrived. The Spanish settlers would dub the Watchers as Los Vigilantes Oscuros.
Okay. What is that?
Translates to the Dark Watchers.
Oh, okay.
Literally what their name. And I guess these presented a challenge to Spanish explorers. It was believed that if you encountered these specters, that you would potentially vanish if you were trying to get over the mountain to explore or anything like that. So I'm just throwing it out there. They're there. Now, many people that do see these report the feeling of being watched, which feels on track.
I mean, they are the Dark Watchers.
Some claim that these are migratory. Others say that they're not migratory, but they are, I would call this more predatory behavior because they stalk travelers along the mountain range.
Yeah, that doesn't feel, migratory at all.
Yeah.
That's not what that word migratory. Means.
No.
No, that's what you said, but predatory. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it feels predatory. Now, of course, we have our party poopers, aka our skeptics, and they believe that what people see is a form of, oh god, I didn't Google how to say this word, pareidolia? I don't know. It's basically your brain will see something unfamiliar and it finds a pattern in it and creates an association. Okay. So an example was like you see the face of Jesus on a piece of toast.
That was real. Did you see that picture? He was on the Cheeto too.
Or seeing Muppets on the Moon or things like that where like your brain is creating an association of some sort. So it basically says when you're in this area with like a lot of times it talks about with fog and mist and that type of stuff where if you are in that condition, your brain is more likely to play those tricks on you. And it's actually like your own shadow being reflective and looking so much different that you see it as a specter. Here's my thing is I'm not wearing a brimmed hat and I'm definitely not wearing a cloak or a cape. So if I'm seeing something like that blowing in the wind, it's not me.
I mean, yeah, those feel like really specific things to conjure.
Yes. But that's what the skeptics believe it is. It's just basically an optical illusion. Now, I do have a couple pictures in there that are the Dark Watchers.
I really hate it. Like, that was the first thing I saw when I opened up all these pictures because it's just so unsettling.
I'm sorry. I should have put them at the bottom.
But it is. It's just these black silhouettes and they have
white eyes.
Bright eyes. Yeah, like bright white eyes.
Which I don't know why they do because they should be featureless.
They should.
But this I can't see a brimmed hat.
Yeah, I can see the brimmed hat too.
One of them looks like a woman.
One of them looks like I feel like she's an old woman. I don't know why.
I feel like she's not necessarily an old woman. I feel like she is, like, you know, the older movies where it's like the woman has her hair back in a bun, taking care of the kid, like Little House on the Prairie almost.
I can see that. Like, they are definitely from a different time.
Yes. Yeah. Different time.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three California cryptids I opted to do today. I have more that I will be doing from California, because there were more. And like I said, Amanda had, I had a feeling she had a longer story, which she did, to an extent. But those are my cryptids for today.
My favorite is the cactus cat.
Just getting drunk. Her. Just running around, getting drunk, yes. Killing people, touching her booze.
She's not, she's just out to have a good time.
That's she's a party all. Girl.
Yeah. She's a party girl in a party world.
I love that we just dubbed it a she.
Well, I mean, have you, I feel like when you try to cut off a man from alcohol versus a woman, women get a little more aggressive.
Feisty?
Yeah, feisty. Feisty's a better word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, she's looking fabulous.
And the fact that her bones, her bone knife, whatever, her stabbies on the back of her legs, when they say that she rubs them together or you can hear them clicking, that's have like you ever nails. Gotten a, yes, the acrylics. Like, I love yeah. doing acrylics. For the sound. Them against one another. Yeah.
Oh, that's, for sure. That's
female behavior.
And she's got the, like, the, it almost looks like the, a bun, a poofy bun. Face buns. Yeah.
Heart ear things. They look like space buns.
Mm-hmm. A messy bun.
I love her so much.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I do really like the cactus cat. I mean, the Hiapom bear or hog bear is up there just because I think it's hilarious that they're like, this succulent pig, one bite, moving on.
Moving on.
And also, did you see the picture that is labeled Hiapom hog bear on the actual picture?
Yeah, what the hell is that in the corner?
Which corner?
The right?
Well, it looks like a person.
It looks like a head on a butt.
Head on a butt? It looks
never
like
mind. A- I see it now. Okay. Okay. My brain was conjuring some wild image. I thought I was looking at a literal butt head. No, it looks like a lumberjack, like a beefy lumberjack. And I see his arm holding the axe now. Okay, I'm here. I got you. Sorry.
Okay, we figured it out. I think I like the Hiapom because that picture that we're referencing, he looks so grumpy. He looks like he just does. Woke up.
He looks more like a hippo in that picture, though.
How dare you call him fat?
He's not fat. He's heavy.
He's fluffy.
I like his chin hair.
I like do like the chin hair. That's the only picture I saw with the chin hair. All right. Thank you all for listening to Hell on Heels Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Hell on Heels Podcast, X Hell on Heels Pod, or Facebook by searching Hell on Heels Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Hell on Heels Podcast. If you want to support us, please like, review, rate, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you want to take your support one step further so we can create additional content for you, you can donate through Patreon. We're working to release specials for our patrons. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story suggestions or words of encouragement, please email us at hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.